talking about the issues that matter to Montana. Statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, lots to talk about this morning right here on Montana Talks. Hey, plenty of time to take your phone calls here later on this morning as well, because we've got a wide open schedule taking your phone calls here on this Monday morning. We've got our back to business segment here in the first half of the 7 o'clock hour. But then after that, the phone lines are wide open until 10 a.m. when Dan Bongino takes over the airwaves. And partly why I wanted to keep the show schedule pretty wide open today is because tomorrow I'm going to be on the road in Great Falls. We're doing our show live from the Heritage Inn in Great Falls tomorrow morning, and should have a number of great guests joining us on the show. I'm going to be speaking at a convention for the Montana Association of County Road Supervisors. So I'm looking forward to meeting a bunch of great folks at that event tomorrow. So basically, I'll do my show from the Heritage Inn tomorrow morning. And then we'll wrap up at 10 a.m. And then a little after 11 a.m., I'll be speaking at the convention. And then as soon as I'm done there, I got to hit the road back to Billings for the Billings Christian Schools big banquet coming up Tuesday night, tomorrow night. Thumper, the guy who's helping to put on the big air show in Montana later this summer, is going to be the keynote speaker. His call sign is Thumper. That was his call sign ever since he himself was one of the Blue Angels in the U.S. Navy. And of course, they're going to be here for the air show this summer. And so he still lives in Bozeman and is a retired Air Force general, but he was a Top Gun flight instructor and more. So that's going to be an incredible event tomorrow night. Let's jump right into it. Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal now with us once again. Evelyn, great to have you on this show. What's the big story today?
Well, there's actually a lot of things happening in Montana business, and where the third lowest in the nation for unemployment rate, and housing prices are dropping a little bit, and also we have the announcement of the SBA's Small Business Persons of the Year Awards, which have just come out.
That's right. I saw that our buddy Willie Blazer with Willie's Distillery got the Veterans Small Business of the Year Award, and of course, right, incredible company. And I'm sure there were some other great names on the list, but I saw Willie Blazer and Willie's Distillery, and I've seen enough. That's all I need to see. I was happy.
Yeah, right. Probably the most popular, right?
That's right. Yeah, he's everybody's friend, and he was a Green Beret and an Army Ranger. Just a great guy,
and apparently a very good business person.
That's right. Well, they're actually expanding. I've been watching on, I think, their Instagram page. They're expanding on the block in Ennis. And so, it's going to be exciting to see. Oh, I'm hearing the music already. Well, Evelyn Pyburn, stand by, because, you nailed it. There are a lot of big business stories to talk about. Home prices have decreased in Gallatin County. But I'd imagine that's probably good news. That shows that things are stabilizing here, especially since our unemployment still remains low, our economy still going despite these national headwinds. But we'll start there with Evelyn Pyburn right after this.
Here is your Montana news. A Billings SWAT officer shot and killed an armed car thief after a pursuit through Billings and a standoff near the Heights. The incident started Saturday at the 4600 block of Western Sky Drive when a 35-year-old woman stole a car after firing a round into the air. Caller 8 reported that police found the vehicle on King Avenue West, and they pursued her through downtown and into the Heights. Collisions with two other vehicles on Main Street and St. Elmo damaged the suspect's car, and it quit working on the 900 block of 6th Avenue North. Police negotiated with the woman for about 2 hours before using gas to force her out. She pointed her firearm at the officers, and the SWAT member fired and struck her. She was pronounced dead at the hospital. The officer is on administrative leave as per protocol. That's the Montana News Minute. I'm Travis Lee.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see lingering clouds into the day today, followed by breaks of sun and some isolated snow showers around as well. High temperatures will otherwise trend to the lower to middle 30s across the region. Moving into tonight, we can expect partly cloudy skies, low temperatures back into the mid-teens across the area. On Tuesday, we can expect partial sun and some cloud cover, high temperatures in the mid-30s. And then for Tuesday night, still looking at quiet conditions with partly cloudy skies, temperatures falling off into the mid and upper teens. And then the outlook for Wednesday does call for chance for a few snow showers, otherwise more clouds and sunshine. High temperatures from the mid and upper 30s. Then we get into Wednesday night with some chances for snow showers. Temperatures falling off down to the lower 20s across the region at that time as well. And that's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. This is weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Your News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL. Your home for Fox News, Hannity, Bongino, and Montana Talks with Aaron.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, jumping right back into it here with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. Yeah, some very interesting numbers that you've got here in the hot seat this morning, looking at home prices in the Gallatin Valley. Evelyn, yeah, what's your thoughts on this story?
Well, you know, I think it's probably not, shouldn't be too surprising because, like you say, when things are kind of flexible, I mean, going up and down and kind of going crazy, the market stabilizes it, and I think that's happened in Gallatin County, where over the past year, housing prices has, the median price of a home, I should say, decreased 21.1%. So it the median price was $868,000 a year ago. And last month it was $684,682. So that looks like a drop of a couple hundred thousand. And I think that is kind of to be expected.
Yeah. And it was such a massive increase and a massive spike in prices, particularly after the spring of 2020. So, yeah, at least my read, and now I know we've got home builders and folks in the construction business and in real estate listening to the show right now. So they could tell us if my assumptions are wrong here. But my assumption is that this is seen as a stabilization. This is seen as good news. But still may not be low enough for a lot of the folks who are still hoping to get into a home, but at least knocks it down there a little bit.
Right. And, you know, and it makes sense. I'm sure they're scrambling to build as many residential units of all kinds in Bozeman as they can, just as they're doing here in Billings. It's just crazy when you go out in the West End to see how many apartment buildings are going up. They're just massive. They're everywhere. So,
and smaller homes. I've noticed they're building some smaller homes, like in some pockets of the West End of Billings as well. I worry that they're putting all the apartments all in the same spot, and you're just going to have high rise after high rise after high rise. Well, not, from a Montana standpoint, a high rise. I mean, it's not Chicago high rises yet, but still, like they're dumping all the apartments all in the exact same spot instead of mixing it up a little bit, but. Yeah, you're right. I ran into, when I was at the Safari Club International convention banquet for the Montana chapter, I ran into Dan Smith, who is of course the owner of Berkshire Hathaway Floberg Real Estate in Billings, and he kind of said the same thing that the prices have stabilized. But what I thought was interesting, just in, you know, kind of BSing with him for a quick few seconds before we got the banquet up and running, is he said that he is very optimistic about this spring season that's coming up from a real estate standpoint, because a lot of people they're realizing that interest rates aren't going down anytime soon, and not only that, but I think everybody got kind of spooked about a year ago with everything that was going on. And now people are wanting to get into homes, and it seems like there's more inventory making it on the market as well.
Yeah, I would imagine people are thinking the interest rates are just going to go higher. So, you know, maybe there's a scramble to get in on what might be low interest rates right now. So it'll be a while before I think we start seeing the interest rates go down, which would then, I think, turn things around, and people would start looking at maybe bigger homes, and, you know, because I'm sure there's a lot of people who still would rather have a bigger home, and heavens, we live in Montana, we got space everywhere, and I think it would be a shame if people weren't able to enjoy our wide open spaces and had to all be crowded into kind of shoeboxes, you know?
Well, that's what I found the most fascinating about the housing debate in Helena is that you've basically got, I think the good point that our friends at the Frontier Institute have made is that some of our larger cities have housing policies that are similar to California's zoning policies. And so it's creating California-style development where they're forcing developers outside of the cities and they're forcing people. And so it's like, yeah, it's like a lot of us want to live out. I wish I lived out in the countryside. I wish I had a big spread. I wish I had horses out there, right? But what they're doing is now they're forcing this development out of the cities and they're forcing the urban sprawl. And it's really complicated, a lot of things, and a lot of it is driven because of these cities having these California-style zoning policies.
And those policies that come down, they come down from Washington. I mean, they're at the top down. So all the cities are kind of under what's supposed to be viewed as the experts' idea of what's the perfect way to live. It's a fallacy to think that when they had the recoding in Billings that they were paying much attention to what people in Billings wanted. In the end, the planners and developers, they were all focused on the federal regulations, I think, their desire is to see people crowded together. Urban sprawl is a terrible thing in their minds. And part of it is because they don't want people driving cars and stuff. So they want you to be able to walk to the grocery store instead of having to drive. So there's sustainability effort behind all of this.
Which sounds like a lot of fun in Bozeman, especially over the weekend. If you had to haul three kids to school and pick up groceries, just do it all on your bike. I mean, forget that pile up of snow out there. Just ride your bike.
When I was taking care of my mother, there was a big push at the time for bike trails and stuff, and they really want people to ride bicycles. And I was trying to envision myself putting my mother on the handlebars of my bicycle to get her to the doctor's office. You know?
Yeah, good point. Taking care of kids or elderly parents.
Right.
Hold that thought, Evelyn Pyburn. Lots to talk about here. We'll talk about the state unemployment right now, still at its lowest point, but inflation remains a concern on the national level. More business news with Evelyn Pyburn right after this.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
Last week, the Montana Stock Growers launched its first in a series of rollover auctions at markets across the state to raise funds for its appeal of the Bureau of Land Management's decision regarding American Prairie grazing allotments in Phillips County. That first auction was held at Lewistown Livestock Auction on Tuesday last week, and the auction was supported by 32 donors and raised more than $15,000. For more information on the stock growers' lawsuit against the Bureau of Land Management or to make a donation, visit protectopenspaces.com.
I'm Carolyn Caldwell. I manage the New Agrarian Program from the Cuvira Coalition. Community-supporting organizations are the lifeblood for Montana agriculture. I think finding that community of people helps propel you forward through the hard times, which there are quite a few of them in ranching. That's a part of why I think people really love it.
Montana Farmers Union is working to build community across agriculture and beyond. Learn more and join the community at Montana Farmers Union.com.
Farm Futures conducted its March survey and found farmers are opting for more drought-consistent crops this spring as depleted soil moisture levels present a big challenge for producers. As a result, the 2023 planted corn acreage is expected to drop 1% from last year to 87.7 million acres. If that corn number is realized, the projected number of acres would be the smallest planted in the U.S. since 2009. I'm Lee Northland.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana. Statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's get back to business here. We've got Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal on the phone lines with us here every Monday in this 7 o'clock hour. Well, the Montana Department of Labor and Industry reported that the state has recorded the lowest unemployment rate in its history. Our friends Peter Christian at KGVO News in Missoula spoke with John Elizondo, the chief of staff at the Montana Department of Labor and Industry, on Friday, who shared the impressive numbers just released.
There's a lot to unpack in the data released today. I think the most important message is despite the national economic headwinds we're seeing all around the country, Montana's economy really remains resilient. We have more Montanans working than ever before. Unemployment in here in Montana is just 2.4%. That is a record for the lowest level ever recorded since record keeping began back in the 1970s.
All right. So there you go. That was a good summary there by John Elizondo from the Montana Department of Labor and Industry. Evelyn Pyburn, you've got even more details in the hot sheet this morning.
Yes. Yellowstone County's rate is the same as the state average of 2.4%. But we're only 19th among the counties as being the lowest. So there's a lot of counties out here who have lower unemployment rates, which is amazing. That pretty much means everybody in the county who wants to work is working. Toole County has the lowest at 1.4%, and Lincoln County has the highest at 5.9%. So, you know, there's a certain percentage in there aren't really unemployed people. They're just switching jobs. And so we're about as close, I think, to zero as we can get. As far as people being fully employed, and the number of jobs are at the highest record high, 555,920 jobs in Montana. So we have a booming, expanding economy that is, it's a really good thing, especially in light of all the other things coming at us from the national level and uncertainty, that businesses keep on growing and employing people.
Yeah, in fact, John Elizondo, I want to share just one more soundbite from him from the Department of Labor and Industry. He made this one more, I thought, interesting point when it comes to these low unemployment numbers, these record low unemployment numbers. Let me cue it up for you here. Here we go.
That's not an aberration either this month. Of the 19 months with unemployment under 3% that we've had since 1976, 16 of those 19 months have taken place in the last 2 years. So we've had one of the nation's strongest recoveries coming out of COVID, and that economic strength continues despite the headlines we're all seeing every day about the national economy.
Yeah, very interesting that basically you look at the majority of those continuous months of record unemployment numbers, low unemployment numbers, has happened in the last 2 years, pretty much since Governor Gianforte took over. Pretty interesting, isn't it, Evelyn?
Yes. You're not supposed to mention that.
I know. Yeah. don't you dare support the free market or freedom or don't you dare say anything good about what the Republicans are doing.
and it really, I mean, that's when it is the free market. It is people being allowed to go out and, you know, just invest and take their chances and take risks without having a lot of burdensome regulations and government, you know, interferences, taxes, once people are allowed to go out and do their thing, amazing things happen. It happens that way every time. And it's like I say, I don't know how many times we have to demonstrate it for people to get it, but it doesn't seem to be a lesson quickly learned by some people. But it's really great news for Montana.
Interesting about Toole County, of course, our listener Tim in Savage out there in the Montana-North Dakota border, he used to work in the schools in Sunburst, Montana, just north of Shelby there in Toole County. So kind of north central, borderline northwestern Montana, kind of right on the border there. I'd still say north central, but the lowest unemployment rate in the state. And then Lincoln County, I've heard Lincoln County, I think it was the governor who's described Lincoln County as poverty with a view. You know, one of the most beautiful places in the state, northwest Montana, you know, surrounded by national forest land and beautiful rivers and lakes. And yet because of our federal government and the ongoing challenge of access to timber and much more, unfortunately, it's been described as poverty with a view.
Yeah, That, you know, is elimination of timber pretty much, I think. So
and shutting down mining operations as well.
Right. Right. And so now then we import. I think we import most of our timber from Canada now, but it's ridiculous when you see all the forests, and you know, it's a renewable resource, and
And two mining operations that the radical environmentalists have been blocking and opposing right there in the Lincoln County area. And instead, we got miners from Libby jumping on an airplane to go to Alaska. It's crazy. All right, stand by. We'll come back in a second.
I'm Chris Foster. There's a severe storm risk today from Texas to North Carolina, with Georgia and South Carolina at the highest risk. President Biden issued a disaster declaration from Mississippi to help people affected by Friday night's tornadoes there. Governor Tate Reeves on Fox says when these things happen,
people show up from all over the state of Mississippi, and people show up from all over America to provide help, and it gives you optimism for the future.
At least 25 people died in Mississippi, one in Alabama. The drinking water is being monitored in Philadelphia after a chemical spill making its way downstream.
The Philadelphia Water Department announcing it is confident the water is safe to drink through 11:59 p.m. today, after about 10,000 gallons of chemicals were released into the Delaware River in Bucks County Friday. And officials originally advised residents to temporarily drink bottled water at an abundance of caution.
Fox's John Chelosi on Wall Street. Stocks are starting the day higher. America's listening to Fox News.
All right, there's another very interesting story in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet this morning as we get back to business here on this Monday morning. 280 foreign companies call Montana home. How many foreign companies have operations here in Montana? I'll share those numbers here, or we'll share those numbers here in just a second. But first, Evelyn, you know, we mentioned the great Willie Blazer and Willie's Distillery in Ennis, Montana, getting the Veterans Small Business of the Year Award. But we do want to recognize the other SBA recipients as well.
Yes, Billings has one of the winners. Wayne Nelson with Stockman Bank was recognized as business champion of the state, and that means he's an individual who's gone out of his way in his career and through his business efforts to support business and entrepreneurship. And so Wayne Nelson is a winner from Billings. And not surprisingly, I think, given the floods of last spring, the business owners or the small business persons of the year are Nelly and Dimitar Nikolov. They are from Gardner, and gosh, I lost their names.
That's right. I think I've got it in my email here. I can pull that one up as well.
But anyway, the small business persons of the year own a small restaurant in Gardner, and it's the oldest business in Gardner, and they managed to survive and come out on top of what must have been the most horrible experiences that anybody could have.
I think you got the names right. I think you got the names right. I'm looking at it here. The owners of the Corral, the Corral Burger and Lodge in Gardner got Small Business Persons of the Year. Yeah.
Okay. And then in Helena, Shelley's Country Cafe, owned by Shelley Mitchell and Amy Miles, who are a mother-daughter team, they were recognized with Woman-Owned Small Business of the Year. And the SBA Young Entrepreneurs of the Year are Asia Calori and Dustin Anglin of Missoula, and they are owners of Pearl Boba Tea. And apparently their specialty is serving bubble tea, which I have not ever heard of, but it must be very good.
Well, I'll tell you, if you got a granddaughter, take your granddaughter out for boba tea. My daughter loves some boba tea. I think it has like little berries or something in the bottom of it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a few boba tea joints in Billings.
And the manufacturer of the year is Pinto Machine Company of Bozeman, which is owned by Michelle and Matthew Hurdle. And they also have been recognized as the regional eight exporter of the year.
All right, great info. Got to hold it right there.
The Montana Economic Minute.
The fundamental problem with housing in Montana, if it can be boiled down to one, is this. For the past 20 years, housing prices have been growing faster than incomes in Montana, with one important exception, and that was the housing price bust period of 2007 to 2010. There's been a steady erosion in housing affordability that has greatly accelerated since the pandemic. For renters, the situation is more mixed. Before 2018, Montanans were less likely than the average American renter to be rent burdened, defined as spending more than 30% of their income on rent. Since that time, however, median rents in Montana have grown faster than average, and in 2021, that growth soared. Solutions to Montana's affordability challenge must address this problem. Other issues in housing can be distractions to the affordability goal. You don't like VRBOs, perhaps. You have a lot of complaints about construction noise. You decry the state of handicapped access. None of those move the needle on affordability. I'm Patrick Bunke.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, phone lines are open for you. Anything and everything you want to talk about here on Montana Talks. We've got the phone lines open right now, and we'll keep them open until 10 a.m. when Dan Bongino takes over the airwaves. Got a message from Bruce in Ennis here. You know, we were talking about housing, and we shared these numbers from Evelyn Pyburn in the Big Sky Business Journal Hot Sheet. Here this morning, home prices drop in Gallatin County. The median home prices in Gallatin County decreased 21.1% from February of 2022 to February of 2023. A year ago, the median price was about $868,000, and last month it was $684,000. Also a year ago, I don't know if we shared this number. This number is interesting. Homes were on the market for only about 5 days. So you'd list a house and it was gone in 5 days. Now it's about 22 days. So a house may sit on the market on average for about 22 days in Gallatin County. But the other thing that we brought up is, you know, some of the discussions that have taken place in the state legislature and how a lot of these cities, especially, you know, cities with, you know, liberal mayors and liberal councils and liberal zoning policies, they have these California-style zoning policies that are basically pushing the development outside of the city limits. And, you know, that's the case in Bozeman. That's the case in Billings. That's the case in a lot of the bigger towns across Montana. But anyway, Bruce in Ennis says, I had this conversation with Jeff Krause this weekend. I'm assuming he's referring to the former Bozeman mayor, Jeff Krause. He did a great job as mayor. And anyway, this is how their conversation went. There's no affordable housing in Bozeman in city limits. So building an apartment building on Tracy or Oliver is the only way. Unfortunately, the city demands two parking spots per apartment. So you need first two levels of building. You need the first two levels of the building to be a car garage. Then you need at least 100 apartments on top of that minimum just to pay for the cost. So apparently that's a conversation they were having is, well, if you require a certain amount of parking to go with the housing units, that is one of the big challenges right now in Bozeman, at least according to this message from Bruce in Ennis. So, Bruce, thanks for that call. Another story that was in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet here this morning, 280 foreign companies call Montana home. While Montana languishes near the bottom in terms of the number of international companies that have made investments in the state, the rate at which that is turning around puts the state at the top. Montana is ranked second in the nation for the fastest FDI, that's foreign direct investment. So Montana is ranked second in the nation for the fastest FDI job growth rate over the past 5 years. According to Global Business Alliance, Montana has seen growth of 40% in the number of FDI companies, which employ 9,500 workers. Domestic job growth in the same period was 2.2%. Over 280 international employers operate in Montana, with the United Kingdom, Canada, and France supporting the largest number of jobs. Meanwhile, in North Dakota, the oil and gas industry in North Dakota remains a powerhouse for the state's economy, accounting for more than $42.6 billion in gross business volume, nearly 50,000 jobs, and $3.8 billion in state and local tax revenues in 2021. That would be interesting to see what oil and gas revenues are doing for Montana as well, because we know that we're approaching, what, a $3.2 billion surplus here in Montana with some of the last numbers that we had heard. And so how much of that? I think most of it has been, you know, gains in income tax revenue. So that has been what most of the gains are from what we've heard. But how much have we seen coming in from oil and gas here in Montana? That might be an interesting number to add into the mix here. So, yeah, like I say, great info all around in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet here this morning. A couple of national stories that stood out to me. Let's see. There's one story that actually it was kind of funny. On our studio here, we have an on-air light right outside our door. And I don't think the light bulbs work. So the on-air light doesn't work. But anyway, our friend Paul Mushaven, one of the breakfast lights from down the hall, he was going to pop into the studio and tell me something or ask me a question. But then he realized we were on air, even though we don't have an on-air light outside our studios that would normally alert people to that. So anyway, during the last break, I figured I'll go refill my cup of coffee. I'll go chat with Paul, see what's up. Anyway, Paul asked me a good question. And I told him, I said, Paul, I got the exact same question from one of our listeners. I think it was a listener in the Flathead Valley. I got an email from Cindy over the weekend. And she said this. She says, hey, Aaron, why did Congressman Matt Rosendale vote against the parents' rights bill in the U.S. House of Representatives? This was the parents' rights bill we talked about last week. You know, there's parents' rights bills that are moving forward in the Montana legislature. There's parents' rights bills. The parents' rights package that was moving forward last week on Capitol Hill and had huge support amongst the Republican caucus. So why did Congressman Matt Rosendale vote against it? And when I saw that email, I said, well, why would Congressman Rosendale vote against a parents' rights bill? So anyway, I saw the story here. There was a story in the Washington Examiner. Here's the headline: McCarthy makes good on parental rights platform with House passage of parents' rights legislation. The House of Representatives passed the Parents' Bill of Rights Act on Friday, advancing a key legislative priority of the chamber's Republican majority. The bill, which was sponsored by Representative Julia Letlow out of Louisiana, passed in a 213-208 vote with no Democratic support. Five Republicans voted against the legislation. Representative Andy Biggs out of Arizona, Ken Buck out of Colorado, Matt Gaetz out of Florida, Mike Lawler out of New York, and Matt Rosendale from the Eastern Congressional District. So that tells you also that Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke from the Western District voted in support of the Parents' Bill of Rights Act on Friday. Rosendale apparently tweeted after the vote. Here's what he had to say via Twitter. He says, the answer to an out-of-control education system is not turning more control over to the federal government. So next time he joins us in studio, it'd be interesting to get his take on how he felt a parent's bill of rights would give more power or more control to the federal government, especially when it was a bill that was basically a key GOP platform issue for the House majority. Let's see. Kevin McCarthy, this was one of the top priorities for House Republicans. This is H.R. 5. And McCarthy said this ahead of the vote, quote, we believe parents should be able to know when your children is learning, know how your tax dollars are being spent, and whether your child is safe in school. And that's exactly what the Parents' Bill of Rights does. And at least on the face of it, the legislation sounds similar to the same types of overarching principles that the legislative Republicans are working on in Helena as well. All right, into the phone lines we go. Nancy in Roundup, did you get a chance to watch the Trump rally this weekend?
I most certainly did. I wouldn't have missed it for anything. I watched it from beginning to the very end. I was very, very impressed, and it's renewed my faith in this country, and it has given me great hope. And it was wonderful to see a man, a Donald J. Trump, stand there and talk about the American people and what he wants to do for us and to save our country. And I was very impressed because you know how I just despise the open border, and I know that's destroying our country. And what he was saying about what he wanted to do and accomplish along the southern border. And I was just very, very, very elated, just delighted over all of it. And I'm hoping to see, I've been keeping my eye on Carrie Lake, and she's a fighter, and I would love to see a Trump Lake ticket in 2024. She's, of course, has fought in Arizona, and there's Katie Hobbs stole the election, and she's actually destroying that state. But, so that's what I would like to see in 2024. But other than that, I tell you, I just, boy, it was awesome. And the size of the crowd that was there was just amazing. It just, mostly towards the end of his speech, his rally, the cameraman went out, and the whole area was covered with people, and you saw a lot of red, the MAGA color, just everywhere, and
he really went after that liberal prosecutor in Manhattan, whose whole case appears to just be crumbling and falling apart. Well, I'm glad you called in. I'm glad you brought that up, because I've got several sound bites here I haven't even gotten to yet. I've got President Trump's lawyer talking about this absurd case against him in Manhattan. I've got audio of President Trump himself at that rally. Thanks to Nancy's phone call, we'll start there right after this. We'll start with the Trump news and more on the southern border as well.
Fox News commentary.
Several school districts across the nation are suing social media platforms for aiding the youth mental health crisis. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
New from the Fox News Podcast Network.
I'm Emily Campagno, and this is the Fox True Crime Podcast.
And I had nothing to do with her disappearance.
I sit down with the people who lived the nightmares.
I was in shock. I was just devastated.
The investigators who tirelessly worked on the case.
And I really hope that they can catch this guy.
Bringing you closer to the story than you ever thought possible.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
These are the stories that keep you up at night.
Social media used to be a tool of free speech and expression, but in recent years, it's taken a devastating and even deadly turn. That's why several school districts around the country in both blue and red states are suing social media companies for knowingly creating this unprecedented mental health crisis. The suits allege these companies such as YouTube, TikTok, Snapchat, and more are designing and marketing their platforms to encourage youth addiction and deliver harmful content. The stuff is no joke. The CDC recently released data showing the rising rates of poor youth mental health and suicide. Social media use undoubtedly has something to do with it. Whether it's the brain-melting content, the bullying, or just the overarching addiction to these platforms, parents need to be aware. Parental control features are not enough. If your kid is online, you need to be checking in, and often. Because lawsuits or no lawsuits, we need parents to step up. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless at Outkick.com.
Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios, trusted by the Northwest, Montana-owned. Online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so before we took in Nancy's call in Roundup, I mentioned I had a couple of stories in front of me. One was on that question of a parent's bill of rights, a parent's rights bill that Republican Congress successfully got across the finish line on Friday. Had a listener ask, why did Congressman Rosendale vote against that? And Paul Mushaven from the Breakfast Flakes, the country station down the hall from us, he asked me the same question. And so, that'll be a good question to throw to Congressman Rosendale next time he joins us on the show. But the other story that I had in front of me here from the Washington Examiner, and this ties in with exactly what Nancy in Roundup was talking about the Trump rally over the weekend, talking about our southern border and what Donald Trump will do to fix the border once again if put back in the White House here. According to new U.S. border data, 284 suspected terrorists have been apprehended so far. So how many did they miss? How many did they not apprehend? That's a natural follow-up question, right? Nearly 300 suspected terrorists have been apprehended attempting to enter the United States in the first few months of fiscal 2023 as 28 members of Congress formed a new caucus to address the crisis at the northern border, where record numbers of foreign nationals continue to illegally enter from Canada. The Northern Border Security Caucus, formed by U.S. Representatives Mike Kelly out of Pennsylvania and Ryan Zinke out of Montana, is expressing concerns about, quote, the increased human and drug trafficking, along with the decrease in Border Patrol agents and the lack of security along the U.S.-Canada border. The southern border is such a mess that they've had to divert resources to the southern border from the northern border, and now the northern border is witnessing a crisis as well. All happening under John Tester and Joe Biden. Okay, President Trump, what's the latest on this absurd prosecution against President Donald Trump?
The Manhattan grand jury is expected to meet this afternoon after proceedings were canceled multiple times last week. But over the weekend, Trump said Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg does not have a case. Trump telling reporters in Waco, Texas Saturday, quote, I think they've already dropped the case. It's a fake case. Some fake cases, they have absolutely nothing. Now, I spoke to a campaign spokesman for the former president who doubled down on that claim. He told me, quote, this has been dropped because everyone knows this was a partisan witch hunt by a radical leftist DA that sought to politically weaponize the justice system to influence an election.
All right, and here's President Trump in his own words at that rally in Waco, Texas over the weekend.
The innocence of people makes no difference whatsoever to these radical left maniacs. It is worse, actually, in my opinion, hard to believe anything could be worse than this, but I think it's worse than ballot stuffing or media manipulation by the FBI.
He's right. The truth does not matter for these people. The truth, it's feelings over truth. Feelings are what matter. They don't like Donald Trump. They feel like he should be behind bars. So the truth and the facts do not matter to them. They are driven by feelings. They are driven by fear. They are driven really by an anti-American agenda. I think it's blatantly obvious at this point. Here's President Trump's lawyer, Joe Tacopina. He was on NBC's Meet the Press over the weekend. It's pretty much MSNBC anymore.
As his lawyer, I want to dissect this case because it's a case that shouldn't be brought and wouldn't be brought up for anyone other than Donald Trump. Let's be clear about that. Does anyone actually think, left, right, or in the middle, that anyone else will be prosecuted for making a civil settlement in a hush money case with personal funds? Of course not.
Yeah, of course not. He's exactly right. If it was anybody else other than Trump, we wouldn't even be seeing this take place right now. Hunter Biden, ring a bell. Joe Biden, the big guy, ring a bell. Anyway, lots of crazy stuff going on right now. Hey, a lot of people just had spring break, but here's the thing. I think spring will be here eventually as I look at the snow-covered terrain in front of me here. Spring will be here eventually. Maybe you did it before your spring break trip. Maybe you're getting ready for the summer. Maybe you were thinking, hey, I want to look better in a swimsuit. I want to trim down before the summer. I want to trim down before a spring break trip that's yet to come. Well, I'll tell you what, Billings Last Diet is the place to go if you want to look better. But look, let's be honest. You don't really care so much about looks. You care about the fact that your knees hurt. You care about the fact that your joints hurt because of the extra weight that you're carrying around. And more importantly, you want to be around for your kids and your grandkids. So you understand that if you can lose the weight, your health is going to be better off for it. Let me tell you the program that works. Billings Last Diet. Well, you already know that. Now you just need to make the phone call and make it work for you. BillingsLastDiet.com.